Hello, 42 here from the Random Interesting Facts podcast, the show about everything and nothing. Every week, I delve into three random interesting facts on a random topic. So, if you're in the car, on the train, or even on the toilet, and you're just itching to know more about the world around you, pause this podcast and go subscribe to Random Interesting Facts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't miss it.
All right. It is Bob of Bob Saget's Here For You. That's right. I'm Bob in the Bob Saget's Here For You title. As you do these podcasts, you store them sometimes, and you do them a couple weeks ahead of time. Well, I got excited to call people, so I recorded a bunch of episodes because I really wanted to talk to people because of the pain they've been going through, because of the quarantine, and because of sick people in their lives, and because of all the dissension in the world, and the hatred in the media, then hatred in politics, and hatred in religion, and just wanted to bring people together somehow and entertain them. And that's where the title came from accidentally. It really came out because the world was already feeling like it was crumbling before I started the podcast. And that's how the title came out. And then the quarantine hit 1 week after I started the first episode. So the episode you're about to hear was recorded before the death of George Floyd. So the conversations aren't what they would be if they were today. But I do want to talk about humanity and equality and honesty and truth. And so those are the things that are evergreen. And this is just a couple weeks old. That's how quickly everything turned. So here's an episode of me calling people, which I love to do. Here it is. Here's Bob Saget's calling people. I'm talking in fourth person. Jim, Bob Saget, how are you, sir?
Hey, Jeff, message you might call me.
That's cool. So Jeff from Twitter said that I might call you. So that's the connection here. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I missed you the first time. I was sleeping, and my wife took my phone and shut it off, set it on silent.
But it's important to get sleep. I mean, I know that, and I know you got quite a story from what my notes say here.
Yeah.
So now you are one of our fine servicemen. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And everything. I know that you've had some hardships. Are you cool to discuss it with me? Are you okay to talk about it?
Oh yeah, of course.
Your friend said that you had a pacemaker put in. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, actually just yesterday. So it was a kind of shock because I'm pretty young for that.
How old a man are you, Jim?
I'm only 37. So.
Oh, my God. Is there hard stuff in your family? Because there is in mine.
No.
So you had it put in yesterday?
Yeah.
So I'm part of your recovery.
Yeah. I've only been home for about 5 hours. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I'm honored that you wanted to talk to me. So I'm here to just cheer you on. I'm so sorry that you had that put in, but it's safe now. And are you feeling better?
Oh, yeah, I feel better already.
What happens? It's just the heart doesn't have the regular beats, right? Because the blood's not pumping properly.
Yeah, like that.
Right. I never understood it. I've had nothing but relatives that had them put in and lived forever with them.
Yeah.
What is it, like the size of a battery or something?
It's a little bigger than that, but not what I say. It's like the size of a large wristwatch.
You have a watch in your chest?
something about that size, I guess, is what they're telling me. Yeah, so I didn't see it. I was passed out before they started going to work. So
right,
and it was a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just lost breath and thought you were. Did you think you were having a heart attack or something?
No. I was kind of fatigued and some busy for a couple of years, and I never really took it very seriously. And then I guess they did the right test and found out they needed to do this pretty quick. So, I guess 5 days from diagnosis to surgery. So,
my God. Well, congratulations. Yeah, and I wish you a very healthy recovery. That's amazing.
No, thank you.
Do you think I'm an important part of your recovery now?
You know, so I know you've been talking off and on to Jeff, and he's been my buddy for 14 years now. And I was laughing. He was like, "Hey, I reached out. You get a call. Please answer the phone this afternoon because I know you've been talking to him for a couple months now, and he's a great guy. And I know that he is like probably one of the biggest wild card people in my life. And when Jeff says, "Hey, something's happening," I never know what it's going to be. But yeah, definitely appreciate it. It was something to look forward to.
Well, I'm honored. And Jeff, so the listeners know, I don't often answer a lot of things on Twitter because it's a lot of stuff. I don't see it. You know, you go through your day. I try to do other stuff, try to be a good husband, make her happy. Takes about 6 hours. And,
yeah.
are you a married man?
I am. Yeah.
And you guys are quarantined together right now?
Yeah. The whole family. Yep.
Oh, how many people are in there?
I have three boys, so yeah, we're all stuck together here.
Oh, man. And they're not doing anything near your chest right now, right? They're not daddy's home. And
I'm quarantined from the quarantine, so nobody hits me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you've got to be extremely careful because you got to take care of them their whole lives, even though they become independent. It's a good thing. Yeah. They need their dad. So Jeff is this guy for the listeners that is such a good man. I don't know him. And that's how this podcast even came about. It's just, I have a connection with people and I have it when I do stand up. So I wanted to do this podcast before my tour got canceled because of the world. And I just know I have a connection because people feel like they know me or whatever. I played Danny Tanner and now we're all cleaning like idiots because we all became him. And then Jeff just hit me on Twitter and I direct messaged him back because he was saying, "I'm about to go away to Iraq and I'm going to be stationed somewhere and my family and my kids." And he's just, and I sent him a video back. He's just a genuine good person who's, and that's accurate, right? Is he like one of your best friends?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's just, you know, where is he now? Where is he located now? Is he still back in the States?
I don't say exactly where he's at, but he's out and about doing things.
Yeah, right. I probably shouldn't ask that because everybody's going to be confidential about what you guys do, which is amazing. I mean, you're heroes, you know? And now we've got people that are heroes, and you were in a hospital getting a pacemaker. Were you concerned that you had coronavirus people? Did they have you in a separate place?
Well, you know what? I trusted the system and said if they think it's important enough to do this really quickly during the pandemic, then it's probably important. I just go do it.
You're lucky. And so, did they test you afterward, or they just said if you get symptoms, let us know kind of thing?
Yeah, just the normal stuff, you know, keep social distancing. If I get sick, you know, talk to them and we'll figure it out. So, yeah, but I think it's...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I think it's more important to listen to their recommendations. So, yeah.
Right. And your kids, now, do they go out and play with other kids or do you have to, do they understand the quarantine?
Oh, yeah, no, they're good. We homeschool anyway, so they're kind of always used to, it's not as hard on them because we're used to homeschooling anyway. So yeah, they understand what's going on. I think now at this point, you know, we've been doing it for a while. So,
right. Some people's lives, oddly enough, haven't changed that much, except they can't go to the market as carefully, you know, or some people can afford to order in. Some people can't. Some people have deliveries of food. Some people go to the market and get the food. And then you go there and toilet paper has been my biggest issue because I'm using like typing paper at this point. I mean, I don't know. I can't find it. You know, people in where I live, they just get it all. They just take it all away. So I don't know. And you can't recycle that stuff because it's stinks. But so you had, did you have a question or something or a topic you wanted to discuss with me?
No, not particularly.
Because you didn't make the call. Yeah, because it was Jeff.
Yeah,
that did.
No.
Right. At first, it said Jeff from Twitter, and I was thinking, what is he like? Run Twitter? I didn't know what he meant.
Jeez, I don't know. Yeah.
So what are you gonna do? Does dinner get cooked, and you kind of amble your way in? This is day one of recovery, right?
It's like I said, it's not a major thing. It's just surprising because of my age, but from what I hear, you know, I'll be back to doing everything I was doing in 4 to 6 weeks. So, yep, just got to be careful for a couple of weeks and I'll be good to go.
But you won't be able to go anywhere. So it's kind of good.
Hopefully my recovery will coincide with, you know, us being able to move around again. So,
right.
That's the plan, I guess.
Yeah, the plan is to get this thing over with and get people well and then find a freaking vaccination. That's what we want. And that's going to be a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not on the timetable we all want, but wow, thank God, man. You're alive. And this'll be good. You got a watch in your heart. So that's like, if it's the Apple Watch, it could take your temperature, it could call people. You know, anybody that you love from your past, it would probably just start auto dialing. You'd be heart dialing people, like butt dialing. Butt dialing just sounds terrible. It sounds like, you know, I mean, it's anybody that your butt thinks of, it calls. And nobody's really been around my butt, so I don't know. I'm confused. I just want toilet paper, man.
My
That's
wife
all.
Came in.
What's her name?
Alexis, and she is talking to Jeff on the
phone. Hi, Alexis. Nice to meet you.
You too.
She's FaceTiming with Jeff.
We have Jeff here.
Hey, Jeff. Can Jeff hear me? Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for doing this.
Well, you know, it seems like you and I got some kind of social thing going, and anything you command, I just obey. If I joined the service and you were my sergeant, I'd be in mud all day. I'd do whatever you said.
You're the best. I would never do that. I'm getting your chow. I'd be cleaning your toilet.
I really appreciate that. You know, sometimes a man needs help from another man with cleaning his toilet and his shower. Right now, though, we all have to. Jeff, are you practicing safe social distancing right now?
I am. I absolutely am.
Well, good. Well, you got a lucky buddy there. I mean, Jim is in recovery. This is day one of recovery. I didn't realize like I was like the little gift, little icing on the heart right there.
I didn't tell you that I get this challenge in the toilet.
Yeah, if you're willing to do all these toilets, I mean, you're a hell of a friend. I mean, now Jim, have you had regular bathroom times yet? Are you back to normal?
yeah. Fortunately, I'm good to go.
Oh, that's wonderful. And how old are the kids? How old are these little guys you guys have to deal with right now?
Oh, they're 6, 9, and 12. So.
Oh, that's adorable. Are they helping out, or are they little critters that are giving you some difficulty here and there.
Oh, you know, yeah, they're upset. I'm throwing off the daily rhythm, but they'll be all right.
He can't power bomb them.
Yeah, I can no wrestling moves right now, so that's got everybody down.
Right. So they're getting a break, but when you come back, it's going to be strong. They're not going to know what's going on.
Oh yeah, they're going to be in trouble.
Oh, they're going to get sideswiped. They're not going to see it coming. Well, you guys take care of yourselves. I just can't thank you enough. Jeff, you're a great man. You stay safe. Jim, you take care of yourself. I mean, you know, you got to, you're like the.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the Tin Man. It's not the heart. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, Jeff. You just be well, man. Be well out there. And I wish well to your whole family. You guys just tell the kids I said hi. You know, maybe the oldest one wouldn't watch a show that I've been on, but he would watch one of my specials, and then he'd be corrupt. So we would we'd have a problem. You guys take care of yourselves. Thank you so much. Heal right, well. Heal really, really well.
Oh, and
and I'll see you guys in the future somehow. I know I will. Somewhere out there, it'll be fun.
All right. Well, thank you for reaching out.
Absolutely. You heal well and take care of yourselves.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Bob.
You too. Take care, Jeff. Now, Jeff's a guy that I met literally on Twitter, and we're dating now. And I swiped right, and he smacked me in the face, and I fell in love with him. And he has a family, and he's a good man. He is he works for serving our country. So there you have it. So you know what? We're going to take a little break. I'm a little sentimental right now. A man called me to call his friend, and the guy just got, it's his first day of recovery with a pacemaker. I mean, I don't think I'd want anybody to call me. I just want to be left alone. Just, you know, I wouldn't order baby back ribs that night. Probably have some soup and then fart and go to bed. Okay, speaking of that, we'll be right back.
Hello, friends in the Bay Area. Shane Company has moved to a new location in Cupertino, and those doors are open. We're still on Stevens Creek Boulevard, but down the street from our previous location. You've got to come in. We've kept everything you love about Shane Company, the largest selection of fine jewelry, a relaxing shopping atmosphere with our non-commissioned team, a chance to compare two diamonds side by side, and a view of our jeweler's workshop. We've made a few updates, too. A spacious new showroom, rough gemstones you can actually hold, and a fun selfie station where you can get a photo of yourself in your sparkling jewelry. Find the perfect gift, an engagement ring or something for yourself. We're at 19900 Stevens Creek Boulevard. You can also visit us in San Mateo and Walnut Creek. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and Shaneco.com.
Okay, we're back. And I have no idea what I'm getting into now. I'm calling somebody, and these are people that wanted me to call them. So this is not like I'm doing anything weird. It's not crank yankers. I'm calling somebody who missed my call last week, and her name is Marie. And I hope she's there, because here comes Marie. It's a real pretty song if you know who Randy Newman is, and you probably don't, but it's called Marie. I mean, I gave it away. So this would be her. She'll pick up. I have a feeling, because it's been, you know, a whole week. She really wants me to call her.
Hello.
Hi, Marie. It's Bob Saget. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like you're
Hi, I can hear you.
Can hear you. No worries, no worries. It's Bob Saget. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, Bob. Hi.
Were you inside a washing machine?
No, the sound was coming through my Bluetooth somewhere.
Right. We have more problems with that, don't we? And then they give you the noise canceling headphones, and I can't hear anything. I mean, I can't, because it's noise canceling, so you don't hear your own voice. So it kind of
everybody who comes up behind me scares the holy crap out of me.
Right. Yeah. So then you want to go back to the old style ones, because then at least you can hear what else is around. So I'm sorry that last week I tried to call you. What was going on? Why couldn't I get through?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
it was my stupid smartphone again, right?
Oh.
So, if I turn it over, if I turn it face down, it goes on do not disturb.
Right.
So I happened to turn my phone over for some reason, and then I turned it over to check, and there was your message from Bob Saget. And I told everybody, oh my gosh, I was waiting on this. I was hoping that Bob Saget would call me. And I have this voicemail, and everyone's like, yeah, sure you do. Sure you do.
Well, I'm sorry we missed, but I'm definitely going to call again. But now we got this, and now they'll be able to hear it. So that there they go. Showed them in their face. So what part of the country are you in?
I moved to Texas in November.
What major city, I
live right outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
Oh, that's cool. I like it there. I was planning to do stand up in the fall, but I don't think it's going to happen till next year just because of the rescheduling of everything. Cause life is crazy. How are you holding up through the,
I'm personally doing fine. I work in, insurance, so I can work from home. My kid is almost a teenager, so she does her little, schooling online and everything. And we're holding up pretty well here. I it would be nice to go to the movies every now and then.
It'd be nice to be with people, right? Because some people are happy they're not with people because they're kind of shut-ins anyway. But I like going to a movie, going to a restaurant, living a life. And now... Yeah. Wow. The question I have is, what kind of insurance is it? And are you caught in the middle of some craziness because of all the insurance problems people are having right now?
Yeah, it's it's sort of like, I track insurance. So if you have like a loan for insurance, you have to have if you have a car, you have to have comp and collision on that. So I get information from your insurance company that tells me whether or not you have it. If you don't have it, then they take some kind of action on it, and if they do have it, great, hopefully I put it in correctly.
But you don't listen to people's cases, you're not part of that, you don't have to.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
nope. All I do is look at the little car insurance paper and type in what it says, and I literally listen to podcasts for 8 hours a day straight.
Well, I'm your man.
That's all I do,
right?
Yeah
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is what I did is I decided to call people. I just said, I that's my communication. I love doing stand up. I love, audiences. I love discourse. I love being with people. And this, I feel like people. Yeah. You ever see the Blues Brothers years ago?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They knocked, John Belushi and. Yep. Dan Aykroyd knocked on the door and said, "We're on a mission from God," and that was to bring the blues to every city, and then they would do their amazing music. I feel like I'm doing something just to—I don't know—if people are calling, they want me to call them, so it's a nice feeling to make people feel good. I just talked to a guy.
It is. I think it's a really just a familiar feeling to get a phone call from somebody,
Yeah, and we're all kind of alone, and so. You find yourself reaching out to people. Are you more social with certain people now than you were before? Are you catching up with people, family, friends?
Yeah, I do. I talk to certain people. Well, my mother, actually. I talk to her a lot more than I normally would because I'm just constantly, she lives in North Carolina, and I'm constantly checking on her. How are you doing? How are you holding up? Is everything,
is she okay?
And we're just kind of.
Is she on her own?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. She's a little, she works for a glass company, like windows and stuff. She answers the phones there. And they're still working because they're the only window company in this small part of North Carolina. So they are an essential business. So she has to be there to answer the phone. And she's a little freaked out, she's over 60 and all that stuff. And so she's a little, she gets worried about getting sick and stuff like that anyway. But she's doing okay. I think everybody's kind of worried,
Yeah, everybody is. And because it's real, because it's not.
Yeah.
And then we worry now as it seems like it's creeping to a solution. You worry about the next wave of it. Did you think you had it also?
Well, earlier last week, I thought I was getting it. I got a sore throat. I had the body aches and all that good stuff and everything. And then it all kind of went away. I think too, because sometimes in some people it's so it's not as severe,
right?
So you we're used to working through pain and headaches and coughs and stuff like that anyway, so a lot of us might have already
you might have had it. I wish that you had and you're okay. Do you know anybody else affected by it?
Yeah, actually, somebody in my office building, my building at work had it, and we, while we had already been home for 2 weeks, and then we got, I have to go to the building and pick up paperwork every day to process all this mail from insurance companies. And we have procedures.
So you actually are going there to get this mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going there. Yeah, I'm going there once a day, and then I interact with about three people in a factory system. They're gloved and masked and everything. But we got an email that over the week, one weekend, that said somebody in the office has caught it. We're going to be closed on Monday to sanitize, and then we'll be back up on Tuesday, and you'll be paid. Don't worry.
Wow.
You'll be paid.
It makes you want to get the hazmat. Hazmat suits should be, I mean, that's like, I don't understand why Amazon didn't just make hazmat suits, like cheap versions of them. Yeah. That anybody that we all could have, that we're just walking around in a jumpsuit and you can go places without worrying. But like your mom, if she's working in a place that sells glass, I mean, she must have like holsters or Windex on her ready to go. Right.
Oh yeah, she's got everything. They're not letting people in anymore, but she has like the people who like go out and put people's windows in and put their glass showers in and stuff like that. They're still going into people's homes and coming back in through the office. So
when things break, or are they allowing construction to go on?
Both. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a very like, one woman owns it. It was originally her father's business. He passed away. Then the mother got it. And then now the daughter has it. And it's just like, they will not pass up any opportunity for business, because it's things just get more behind.
Yeah. And people that can make money want to make money if they can. And an essential business is scarier, but at least they're able to make their money and,
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, she's glad. Yeah, she's, I mean, my mom is obviously grateful that she has a job and everything like that, but it would be nice if she wasn't risking her health.
But you love her, right? So you do care.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some people I've talked to, they're not crazy about their moms. They're like, oh, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody has issues with their parents, but in the end we all, I still, want her to be okay. You know, I don't want anything to happen to my mom. I don't hope anybody gets this thing, because you never know how bad it's going to be. It's just like, it's so new.
Yeah, correct. Correct. And my mom, I lost my mom a few years ago, and my mom I know what she would have been like. And my mom used to drive me crazy, because my dad had the dark sense of humor like I have. And he kind of is the reason I became a comedian without even realizing it. And my mom would always say, don't do that, Bobby, stop it. And that's what makes a comedian, also being told not to do something. So you want to be obstinate. Yeah. And it's just, if she was alive right now, the thing that I loved most about her, the thing that I miss most about her is, and I didn't even know it. I did know it as she got older, and she passed away at 89 years old, but she was like, always positive. Like, she would tell everybody, we're going to get through this. Things are going to be okay. And my parents have had so much loss. You know, my parents lost, you don't know this, but I talk about it, but they've lost four kids in their life. So I'm the only survivor.
Wow.
And right. So it's like,
oh, you're the only one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a big boy now, but, but she had a very positive viewpoint. I would ask her, how can you possibly have a positive viewpoint after losing four children? And she would go, because I have you, and there's still wonderful. I have your dad. And she said that after he had passed away also. So that was confusing, but I got close with her, and I miss her terribly. I would, and things wouldn't change that much, because she ended up not leaving her place at all. So I would just have food sent to her or something. You know, I used to say I fed her cycle five, and she had a nice, beautiful coat, which is not nice. That would be calling my mother a dog, and she didn't like that when I said that. She got mad. So now you called up. Thank you for leaving a message. And did you have a question or a comment or something you wanted to talk about?
I did. So last time, you know, you asked for a couple questions, so I have those ready. but the first thing I do want to say is, you probably hate hearing about it, but I was, I don't know, like 9 or 10 when I first saw you on Full House, you know?
Right.
And, like, I just, I think first that character was just like, you know, your like ideal father figure. And oh my gosh, I just love that guy, Danny Tanner. And then as I got older, I was like, I think I kind of have a crush on Danny Tanner now.
It's just happened recently. I swear. Back in the day, everybody was like, you're so geeky, you know, so nerdy. All the critics hated me. You know, it was just nothing but criticizing the guy. And I was just trying to play Felix Unger from The Odd Couple. Being a clean freak and a hugger, because I am a hugger. And then it's really weird. Now, of course, I've been joking about it that I've become him. I'm cleaning constantly. I'm literally cleaning the vacuum.
It kind of was like when I was growing up, it was like, that was kind of what I needed. I needed to see that, you know, and I was like, that's really nice. Like there's, you know, there's dads out there who are like that. And that's guys like that. And that's cool. And everything. And then I was like, I like that guy, you know, my hormones are kicking up. And I was like, that That is the, you know, the one. And then I kind of started listening in on a couple of your dirty stand up, and I was like, yeah, this is it. Like now I'm into this. Like this is right. So like
I'm taking generations with me.
Like right at the right time with me. Yeah. And now I'm, you know, I'm almost 40 and I'm like, all right, go ahead. You can act like an old man now, Bob. It's so
that's so sweet. I can't. I'm 63. I don't feel it. I have friends in their 90s, which is weird. And they're all unusually healthy.
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, Bob, you're a baby. And they smack me on the face and they punch me really
well,
hard.
I did want to ask you one question though.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, what is your audience like when you do stand up? Young, old, male, female mostly?
It's everything. It's so interesting. Cause when I was ready to do this, they were like, well, what's Bob's demo? And it's like, it's everything. Cause I end up with a lot of 20-year-old girls, 24-year-old girls who also like the stand up as well as I was their dad, you know, as a kid, they watched reruns, but then the older people, that watched it when they were little, and then saw, wait a minute, oh, I get what acting is now. I'm not shocked by this because I was a stand-up since I'm 17. So the audience is really 17 to 99. Like people will bring their parents, their grandparents, and I have a new hour, which is a new special that I'll be doing, but I can't do it because this is not the time, you know, where no one can be in even if I find out and they test me and say, hey, you're clear, you had it already. I'm not clear because I can't put people in a room that could give it to each other, you know, and have.
Yeah, that's true.
But when I'm out doing it, it's every age group. I get a lot of guys that yell stuff out. They're like, Bobby, you know, it's like like guys that
that's
are
awesome.
Just, it's really cool. It's really, it keeps me, I mean, I'd be young anyway. I just got a young brain. And the people that I was close with that I knew that were my influences in comedy, like Rodney Dangerfield, he'd rather hang out and smoke pot with the limo driver who's, you know, who's 28 than go talk to, you know, the older people that came to see him. He's just, you know, it's
I mean, I think once you find out that you can, like, relate to pretty much anybody, you know, if you just listen.
Yeah.
You know, I think people become much more interesting over time, you know?
I that's how I live my life. And I can be almost in any group and people, like, I'll go on a television show and people will say, oh, don't curse. And I'll say, have you not, like, can't you just look, can't you Google me? I've done so much family stuff and I curse where I'm allowed to have my freedom of speech for my little silly 9-year-old bad language show. But it's getting more adult now, because I've been talking ironically about what my dad went through as a kid and segregation and the Great Depression and stuff like that. And it's just like there's humor in it, of course. And I go off on irreverent junk throughout it. But that's the name of my new special, Irreverent Junk. No, I won't call it that. But it's interesting that people don't realize, like, the Great Depression, I mean, that was the end of the world for people. But this is different. This is so different. This has hit the whole world. There's no one that is not affected by this. I think a couple places. Antarctica, is that right? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's,
and it was just like completely unexpected too. Like literally nobody saw it coming, and it came in a couple of weeks.
And we don't want to see people go broke. That's the biggest problem. And the economy go all the way to hell, which is we're going to get through it. It's going to be a thing that we're never going to forget. It's gigantic. It's tragic. And yet there's still positivity coming through it. So that's, talking to you has been really nice. You complimented me all 20 which ways to Sunday, which is not an expression.
I am not shitting you at all. I listened to that voicemail and I missed your fucking phone call. And I was like, I cried. I was like, I called everybody. Nobody, everybody's like, Bob Saget, why are you calling? And how are you calling Bob Saget? And I finally called my mom, who she knows how I feel about you. And she was like, oh my God, are you serious? I was like, yeah. And she's like, are you all right? Are you all right? You know, it was the worst. It was the worst. I was just like, and then I finally, I saw it on like your Facebook story or something yesterday. I was like, I am calling.
Well, thank you.
I told my boyfriend, I'm like, guess what I'm doing? I'm calling Bob Saget because he will remember that I forgot that I missed his freaking phone call.
I'm honored that the message meant that much. I've actually, for people, they've called me.
I've been trying to figure out how to get it, get it off my phone so I can keep it, you know?
Well, you can do that. You could record it on your, on another device. So whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm going to like put it in a bear or something.
Well, you're also going to have this. This is, you know, this will be, I don't know what number podcast episode this is, but you'll be able to hear this. So you'll have.
Yeah, this will be around.
Yeah, this is not going nowhere because it stays in the cloud. Some people don't understand the cloud. Yeah. It stays up.
Now I can tell everybody I was with Bob Saget.
Well, they'll hear you say that. That we were together during the quarantine. So, Marie, thank you so much. You're so nice. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. This was a really great phone call, Bob.
Me too. I enjoyed it. And send my best to your mom, would you? And tell her to, if she doesn't have to go in, maybe, is there no way she can do it from home?
No, she's got to go there, like to the building and answer the phone and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, tell her to be safe. And I don't know. I'll be coming to North Carolina. Maybe she'll come see my stand up. So,
I will be there when you finally get to Texas.
Too. Perfect. And then just tell them you're there and we could take an actual selfie that's safe to take. By that time, because it'll be a different world at that time. So you just take care of yourself. Absolutely. And thanks for all of the kudos. It's really sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You stay safe.
You too. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. I am blushing from the waist down. So that's nice. Tell your kids. We'll be right back. That was really goofy. I signed off going, tell your kids. We'll be right back. I just sounded like some goober from Gooberville. Gooberville? Never mind. I'll bring up references no one will get. And I don't want to do that. I want to call Brandon. I want to call Brandon because Brandon's got stuff to say. I just have this feeling. So, I love doing this. I hope it's not boring. I love doing it. Hey, Brandon. Bob Saget here. How's it going?
I was hoping you would call. This is wonderful. How are you today, Bob?
I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for leaving a message. And I'm so glad you picked up. You did it really professionally, like right away. That's a big bonus.
Well, I want to be in the business, so I have to learn to be professional, right?
Right. So, Brandon, what part of the world are you in right now?
Kansas City, Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh, I love it there. You're Kansas City, Kansas, not Missouri?
Well, I'm in Overland Park, Kansas, but it's a suburb of the whole Kansas City metro area.
I know it well. I know it well. I always come there and play. I've played many different places there. I've played the Midlands. I've played the Improv over the years. I've played, there's a casino. I can't remember it.
Probably like Harrah's or Ameristar or something.
Both of them. Yeah. And I just love it there. And Johnny Dare is a friend of mine. So it's like, I love Jack Stack's barbecue.
Yeah, it's pretty good. My favorite. Have you had Joe's? That's my favorite.
That's the gas. Is that the gas station one?
That's the gas station one for the man.
It's weird that everybody says it's the gas station one. The first thing I think of is you're taking a crap after you eat it, because that's where do you go to take a crap?
No,
gas station.
It's the most delicious barbecue.
Wow. Well, I'm going next time. I can't put it off anymore. Normally, I stay close enough to Jack Stack, so I just have this thing with my buddy Mike Young when we tour, and we just walk across the bridge and go get Jack Stacks, because it's right there, and you get burnt tips. Yeah. If someone would told me when I was a kid that I would like a burnt tip, that sounds like you're getting, you know, something's wrong with you, that they're cauterizing your unit. But I don't, they're delicious. They're very, very good.
Yeah.
Now, how's your life? How are you dealing?
We're pretty good at making barbecue.
Yeah, you are famous for it. A few places that I just go crazy for barbecue. Of course, New Orleans, Nashville, I'm insane over it. A lot of places have it. St. Louis. Anyway. So what? How's it going? How's your life going? Are you quarantined?
I am quarantined-ish, yeah, staying home, and everything's going really well, to be honest. I did work at a movie theater, so I'm not working currently.
Right.
But otherwise, things are going good. Most of my free time, this is going to sound weird, Bob, but I actually, in my free time, before all this started, about 2.5 years ago, I started a TV log where I log every episode of television I watch, because I have so much free time and I love television.
Right.
So I just go on Netflix and everything, and when I finish an episode, I log it in my big book. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing, and trying to create podcasts or any sort of content I can to jumpstart my career as a television host, which is kind of what I alluded to in my message to you.
Do you want to be like a producer? Is that what you're looking for?
No, like a TV host.
You want to be a TV host. Okay, got it. So you want to actually be a person on camera. And so have you been doing it on your social media? Have you been doing it on Facebook, Instagram, any of that stuff?
Not as much as I would like to, but like, I've done a lot of podcasts in the past. I did one where I did what I'm kind of doing now. I would reach out to people who I admired in the business, who I thought I could hopefully get a hold of, and I interviewed them, and I got a lot of great people to do it. That lasted about a year, and before that, I did a college radio show where I got some people as well, and then I just, after the radio show ended, I got those people and said, hey, can you do my podcast? And so that's all I go out and got to do for the podcast. Then I tried doing other stuff, tried to do another interview podcast, but sometimes the reason why I stopped doing those is because the rejection was getting too hard for me.
Yeah.
And I know that's a big part of the business. So I'm trying to create a bit of a thicker skin, but you know how it is.
It's very, very hard. It's very hard. And it takes a long time. I mean, when I first started, I started doing stand-up at 17, and then during college, I was a film student, and then I was doing improv with an improv group. Then I kept doing stand-up. Then I came to L.A., and I took acting classes, but the main thing was I was doing stand-up at the Comedy Store and also at the improv, but mainly at the Comedy Store. I was hosting a lot, and I was there for 7-8 years. I just was trying to get a job, and then I would get a little thing here and there. I got rejected thousands of times, and the skin that you have to, and I'm still a bit, you know, neurotic. I'm less, I'm 63 years old. So I have that benefit of not really giving a shit, because I'm also in a position where I don't have to, which is very fortunate, but I like to go back to the reason I'm doing it. And that's what I always try to impart upon people that want to do it as a career, that you just have to, Rodney Dangerfield told me, you just go forward like a tank, man, like a tank. You just keep going. And that's how I approach it. I really, there's always, when, if you think you're done, then you will be. You can't, it is impossible to tell people, but you'll hear it at award shows when people go, I was just a little girl living in New York, and I never thought I'd ever amount to anything. And somebody got a hold of me and told me to do this, and I found my dream and all this stuff. And it does happen, but just to have a job and do something you like, it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, a millionaire or billionaire, all this crap that's being put upon everybody. It's just to be happy with yourself and not be hard on yourself and not hate the process, because the process is shit. You know, it's like high school where you get rejected every 5 minutes, you know? So do you like being on camera, or do you like doing the audio more?
So I started, well, of course I would love to learn behind the scenes stuff eventually, just because you got to start somewhere. You got to make your way to where you want to be. And sometimes that's starting behind the scenes before you go in front of the camera. But, I started, my dad said, would always say I was born to be in front of a microphone. So when I was a little kid, I was always running around being like singing or dancing. Or then when I got into school, I would like do theater and went to a theater camp and all that stuff. But then by the end of high school, I did a end of year. I wanted to host the choir concert, the big end of the year choir concert, because they, instead of just doing boring old choir songs, we did like pop songs and whatnot. I think that year the theme was doing Disney. So I wanted to host it, and I didn't get chosen to host. They went with four hosts. I was not one of them. But then one of the hosts did not show up that night, and I was basically campaigning backstage to host the last portion of the show, the last half hour, and I got to do it.
Why did you poison that host? It's you,
well,
right? You're the reason they didn't show up, right? Was it a guy or a girl?
No, I think it was a guy, and I think actually his heart got poisoned, not by me, by love.
Oh.
Which is unfortunate.
So, wow.
But I think he was just kind of in a, I think he maybe broke up with someone, or I really don't remember.
Oh, so he had drama and he couldn't do the thing at all because a relationship screwed it up.
Yeah, I think he just didn't show up. He was going through stuff, and I really don't know. But I had nothing to do with it.
That's the key to success. The key to success is no relationship. No, I'm just kidding. So you ended up doing the fourth. You've been single for how long?
25 years. That's how old I am.
Right. So you were single at 5.
Yeah. Well, I was single since the day I came out of the womb, pretty much.
Right. Well, you're not, some people, never mind. They have a complex, you know, an Oedipus, but, so you ended up hosting the last part of the show, and the rest it turned out to be a great experience.
Yeah. Then I did take an acting class my first semester of college, and it just wasn't what I wanted out of it. I knew, like, I wanted to be an actor how you're an actor on Full House. Like, I want to come in, be on a sitcom, read the lines. If I were to be like an actor, not an actor, but you get what I mean. Like, I didn't want to be like a theater Broadway actor, which
well, you know,
is sometimes
here,
what they
let me give you some. Let me give you some. Let me stop you there if I could, because I've been around a little bit. And how old are you now? 25.
I'm 25.
Okay. And I know a lot of people that want to be in. I had some cousins, and they're no longer my cousins because the family kind of split apart, and they weren't on my blood side, so they're no longer a part of the family. And they came to my house because I was nice to my cousin who was married to somebody. And they were two young ladies, and they're in my house, and they're saying stuff, and they were really arrogant and young, and you know, in their early 20s. And they were saying things like, well, I want to act, but I don't want to do television acting. And here I was in my lovely home, which is based on television acting. And and she said, I want to do movies. And I'm like, and was like, whoa, well, you know, it doesn't work that way. And the imparted advice I gave her was, you got to study acting. You've got to learn. You're not just, very few are just born with it. They have to get a piece of material. You have to work with it. You've got to find an acting person, coach, that's good. That wouldn't be like Barry, where you know, Bill Hader ends up shooting people, but You don't want that as your scene partner if he's mad at you or something goes wrong. Although I don't want to spoiler alert the series, but I recommend it. But you got to learn how to do it. So you can't, I don't think a person should choose, oh, I'm not doing theater. Oh, I'm not doing TV or I'm not doing movies. I think what I've done in my career, I never thought I'd be on Broadway. It was the best experience I ever had. That was not my aspiration. But the few plays that I've done that I'm on Broadway, and it was doing, 80 performances, 90. It's the most amazing experience in the world. Making a movie, directing a movie for me is the most amazing experience in the world. And the idea is to give 100% to whatever you do because you don't know what your path's going to be. You could wind up doing something locally in Kansas City where you wind up that's something amazing. And it can start anywhere. Yeah. It could start right where you are. You can be doing an online show that somebody sees that's funny that you send to somebody, and next thing you know, you get a phone call from a Quibi or one of these new online streaming things, and next thing you know, you've got a little show going. But I don't mean to put you down for saying, well, I understand if you go, hey, movies aren't my thing, but I would say study acting.
If you want
to act at all, just study it, and the right path will find itself, I think.
Yeah, and what I realized, at the time I realized, I wasn't the best actor, I wasn't the best singer, I wasn't the dancer, but I'm really good at being a host. And I've always looked up to hosts, Ryan Seacrest, Chris Hardwick, yourself on One Versus 100, things like that.
Right.
So, I really like the idea of being able to be myself, maybe different versions of myself, but being able to kind of not necessarily be the star of the show, because as a host, as you know, especially if you're doing a game show, you kind of have to step back and let the contestants and be the star of the show. But just that, I've always loved that type of thing.
Right. I want to clarify first that I'm not friends with Ryan Seacrest, but I am friends with Chris Hardwick. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
I'm not unfriends. I just don't know Ryan Seacrest. But here's a question for you. The question I have for you is, did you have another question for me? Because the idea was we were taking questions or things you wanted to talk about. Was it kind of, how do I go about it? Was that kind of the question?
It was partly that, but also, how was your experience hosting shows? Like, what have you learned about being a host as opposed to doing other things in your career that maybe you could use that to impart on me, who wants to maybe focus more on hosting than the other stuff, but still kind of use all of the others? What I'm trying to say?
I got the answer. So what happened with me is I was kind of a natural host. I mean, when I was 7, I'd be sitting on the pot and I'd be dropping one. And I would hold up a box of Kleenex tissues and I would do a commercial to the hamper. I literally would do that because I guess I wanted to be on TV. I didn't know my schoolwork, but I memorized commercials. So I was typically, that's what a lot of us are like, saying.
One time I read during reading, they said, okay, you have to do reading logs or whatever. And I said, do the credits on the television show count?
Well, see, you've got a natural ability. I mean, you want to do it. So there's different ways to do it. You could go to the local news station and ask if you can do some, weathermen turn into people. I'll give you two words. David Letterman, and that's a funny thing. That was in a movie. There was an Albert Brooks movie. Albert Brooks is one of the funniest people that ever lived. And he did a movie called Modern Romance. And his agent, the first 40 minutes of the movie, what you have to do is educate yourself on some of these comedians that can also host. But Albert Brooks, Steve Martin, these are guys that were originals, that were legends. And everybody's a legend, an icon, and a goat, but these gentlemen are. And arguably the funniest people ever lived, including all the other funny people that ever lived. But Albert Brooks, in the first 40 minutes, he takes a lewd and he's drugged and he calls his mother and it's a speakerphone conversation. And he also has a speakerphone conversation with his agent and he's having trouble getting work. And his agent says, I have two words for you, James Caan. And that's how he gets the movie made. So that was my point of saying David Letterman. I was kind of replicating something that I needed to explain for 7 minutes, which is not a good trait as a host if you have to explain something.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are the funny weather person. And that person often ends up hosting something, and I'm sure there's going to be a huge need for more local hosts than you would imagine, because not everything's going to be fed by the beast, because look at the world we're in right now. You have an opportunity through this strange time to create some product. I mean, you're home, you're in quarantine, you can't be at the movie theater. You know, you can sit in front of your phone and do some creative editing, or on your computer, or both, and get some stuff done and send it off to somebody, or just put it on your YouTube and get it out there, you know, and keep it short. I mean, most times people sexually, you don't want to hear that. But what you want to hear is product should be just a few minutes to start off, I would say. Don't make an hour long show, you know. That's my 4 cents.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I will let you go. Call
you're welcome.
People.
I hope I
this
didn't talk.
This is an honor, and
I feel like you're a young version of me from another mother. So, you just, Brandon, I'm already proud of you, son. You're already on your way. You know, they do say if you envision yourself as having already done it, then you can have the confidence to not think about the rejection and just concentrate on the work. So that's true with whatever it is, because so many people want to be in show business, and I love people that don't. I admire them, because there's a need that we have to be heard and known, and, you know. But I'm past that now, so I wish you nothing but success. I wish you, and I do wish you failure, too, because that's, without it, you can't.
That's part of it.
You can't,
I get it.
Yeah, we hate hearing it, but it's the truth. You take care of yourself, and I wish you nothing but the best. Okay, man?
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you, Brandon. I'll call you every day at this time.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, I know you're joking, but I wouldn't mind that once a week. Weekly advice from Bob Sackett, I'll take it.
That's it. That's my new title. You take care and be safe, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, Brandon's got to come out of his shell. He just has to speak his mind. I feel like I just talked to a part of myself that is how I used to be. When I was, that was really interesting. When I was 19 years old, I made a documentary at Temple University called Through Adam's Eyes, and it was about my nephew who had his face reconstructed. And it was an 11-minute long black and white documentary, and he narrated it, which is what made it so special. And he's my nephew, and I love him to death. And he's healthy, and he's a realtor, Adam Sackett. Just look him up in the California, Los Angeles area. The California, Los Angeles. That's how I identify where I'm from. That's right. The Detroit, Michigan area. The Michigan, Detroit. Anyway, so I made this movie, and I won the Student Academy Award, which means the Academy has a category for students. And, some of the stuff I'm explaining is inane. I apologize. So they flew me to L.A. I won the student Oscar with 10 other people, this merit award for my documentary. And I met a lot of really cool people. I met Howard Koch, who was running Paramount, and I met Steven Spielberg, and he wanted to see my next film. My next film was just garbage, just self-indulgent garbage, called A Filmmaker's Film. And I was 20 making a thing called A Filmmaker's Film. And someone from the American Film Institute, the AFI, contacted me and said, please do not show this, because I wanted to get a grant for another movie. They said, please don't show this to anybody. I said, I sent it to Steven Spielberg. They said, get it back. So I called his assistant, and this was a 16-millimeter print. Now, this is film. That don't exist. I mean, it does. Of course it does, but it doesn't. Not to this level. And I got it back and had Sister Sledge in it. And I shot it in Philly, and it was the most self-indulgent piece of crap ever made. It was a half hour long, and I only got a B on it because I had a great professor that told me it wasn't done and it wasn't good. He gave me a B because I was the only student that made a film that year that optically got printed, which means I took it to New York and went to a film lab, and you can get high off that stuff, off of film stock. It's great. Anyway, the point of it was I went on some local Philly show, local news. It was UHF, which is not, we didn't have cable. Okay, I'm a billion years old, right? I'm pre-metazoic. So I'm being interviewed about Through Adam's Eyes, just won the student Oscar. I'm sitting there. All right. This is what Brandon made me think of. And Brandon, if you're listening, this is not a slam at you. I'm saying I was where you're at, but I was younger. I had on a plaid suit. I was wearing a red plaid suit. I looked like somebody that went for a casting call for Goodfellas and was told to go home. And I had a comb over and I had photo gray glasses, which means they would get dark, but they were like a welding helmet. And it looked like if I took them off, my hair would come with it. I was a Muppet. And I had a big wide tie, gigantic tie, and huge collared shirt. And that was the look back then in 1978. And I was on this show and I had a mustache. I grew a mustache and I have the tape somewhere. I don't want to look at it. I don't think I can. It's on some tape I can't even do. But it's just me. I don't have the recorder, I don't think, because why would I? And it's just embarrassing what I came from. I can't believe it. I can't believe that. And then, you know, I don't know. As you go through different stages, not everybody loves your work, but I love doing my work. And Brandon made me just think about what I was like when I was young. And there's a lot more opportunity out there for all of you. And if you're in your early 20s, early 30s, it doesn't really matter. Everybody puts an age on everything. I haven't made it yet. I'm 33. I haven't made it. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, I know people, Rodney Dangerfield didn't get a movie until he was 58 years old and he was in Caddyshack. So there's no time for it. It's the right. It's when it's right. And you just got to do it because you want to do it, not because you want to be rich and famous, which I guess it's okay to have it. It's, of course, it's better to have money than not. I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's really hard not to have money. I had no money. I moved out to LA and I had nothing. I just lived in a single apartment. And then I moved to another apartment in Hollywood, and both places had gunshots every night, and that's life. But so money makes it better. But it's really about doing something good and not being some negative, you know, a lot of snarky little bastards out there doing stuff that's just like, oh, yeah, right, you're doing a podcast. I don't know. We all can do that. It's really easy to go negative, and it's takes a little more effort to go positive. So here's wishing you guys a really positive rest of your day, rest of your night. I hope you sleep well. Sleep's been an issue for a lot of people. It is for me, I know. I just chloroform myself, put a rag in my mouth, set it on fire. No, don't do that. Kids, don't replicate this. I'm just talking silly. All right. I don't know what audience I'm talking to. There's 19 ages listening. So that's all there are. You guys take it easy. I will be talking to you next time. And just look up in the thing and do what you can. Rate, review, and subscribe. And then call that number and leave messages and phone numbers or what you want to talk about. And I'll give you a holler and just look at Twitter and Instagram, find out when I'll be calling people. And I've got a lot of great guests coming up, a lot of friends of mine that you guys know. And so just be well, and I will talk to you in the next episode of Bob Saget's Here for You. That was well done. I went to a Berlitz course to do that. Bye-bye.
Has there ever been a year we're more excited for the holidays? Don't wait until the last minute, guys. Plan ahead and surprise her with something unexpected. Imagine her face when you hand her a Shane Company box tied with a burgundy bow. Does she already have a pair of stud earrings from Shane Company? Diamond, ruby, or sapphire? Trade them in for a larger size and only pay the difference from what you originally paid. Or maybe you got her engagement ring when you were young and just starting out. How about surprising her with a larger diamond? Or perhaps an exciting new diamond shape? You can upgrade her engagement ring at any time, and you'll get full credit for your original center stone. Just pay the difference. Shane Company has the best upgrade policy in the business. If you're not sure where to start, make an appointment and we'll help you out. Surprise her with an upgrade this holiday, and leave her speechless.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business.
Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.